I'll be in Romans chapter 6 tonight. Again, we're teaching a little doctrine tonight, and we've been doing this on Sunday night, just giving you more, a little deeper stuff, and I'm not sure we're really preaching the devil out of you as much as just giving you doctrine so you'll understand some things. And it's very interesting, though, because I don't plan. The Lord weaves messages together, and as I prepare messages and get them ready, I do not think they're associated sometimes, but the Lord has been on kind of one subject with us a lot, and it's about a relationship with Him. And we've been really talking a lot about that. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship, and having that with the Lord. But tonight we're talking, that's a little bit of the message. It's liberty to willingly serve is what we're talking about tonight. Romans chapter 6. I'll read a little bit of a lengthy passage. This is the first chapter in the Bible I memorized, Romans 6, a long time ago. And it's a good chapter to have memorized, a lot of practical things in it. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, this morning, Romans 7 kind of separated us from our sin. Sin is something that dwells in us as a problem, but it's really not who we are. It's a hindrance. It's somebody who's riding our car that we didn't want as a passenger. But we can't kick them out. We just duct tape them all up and leave them in a corner. And because they're going to be part of it. It's going to be part of us. And but we're set free from it. let's see. Where were we? Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, or think of yourself, you see yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I want to say, you can't be too Calvinistic if you just read the language of the Bible, okay? Just read it. I mean, just forget one particular verse. Don't yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto sin. He's telling you, don't yield yourself in that way. That's free will. You can yield yourself a servant to unrighteousness. And so don't do that, because you've got to yield yourself. You had the victory. You can go back to sin if you want to, but you've got to yield yourself to it. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Members are parts of you. Everything you have is an instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. There we go. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, and let's talk about liberty to willingly serve. Father, thank you for the word. Speak to us now, Lord. We ask for your help. Thank you. What, Lord, that right there was just, that's a blessing just to read that, Father. Thank you. We just get to read the word. I pray tonight you'd give us this truth and help us understand it. May our hearts be turned towards you and our minds grasp the doctrine. We need the Holy Spirit to speak powerfully, Father. We don't necessarily need to scream and yell or have some kind of strange experience, Lord. What we need is the person of the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us individually and teaching us the word and setting us free from the power of sin and turn our hearts towards you. And I pray tonight that you would help me to see things clearly, that you'd help me to have discernment, that I would say what you once said and make your thoughts clear. And though I don't know enough, haven't studied enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I pray that you would do a mighty work with weak humans and to help us this evening. We pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not guilty anymore. We are forgiven. And so sin should no longer reign over us. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign over your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. When Christ saved you and he came into your life, you became dead to sin. Sin could not stick to you anymore. Sin had no right to have dominion over you because you were saved by Jesus Christ. The power of sin was destroyed because Jesus took all of sin and all of death, took it on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And so sin is this defeated thing. Okay? Sin is defeated. And so you should not submit and be beaten by something that you already have dominion over. It's like you made your last car payment years ago and your car's been paid off for 10 years and all of a sudden some guy calls you and says, hey, you need to pay me. What do you mean I need to pay you? Well, you need to pay me. We need money for that car. I already paid the car off. Well, it doesn't matter. You still owe me. What? And sin has no power over you. Sin doesn't have dominion over you because the strength of sin, the Bible says, is the law. But we're dead to the law. And sin is just this thing that was in your past, but now you're forgiven, and it's just a thing of the past, and it should not any longer have dominion over you. We're under something way better. We are not under the law. Remember, when the Bible says law, it's talking about the ceremony and the rituals and the sacrifices and the killing the lambs and all the things in the Old Testament. You're not under the law anymore. All those things are pointed to Jesus, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Okay? The law has been fulfilled. All the sacrifices, you don't need another sacrifice. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. You don't need all this ceremony. They're a picture of Jesus. You don't need to restrict your diet to these certain things. What God cleansed, he is clean and just fine. And you're not underneath the Old Testament law anymore. We're under this thing called grace. Okay? We're under grace. It says that real clearly. And we see that. Now let's look at verse 21. It says, for as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and eternal life by Jesus Christ. Let me read the verse before. Wherefore the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Then verse 14 of Romans 6, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. It just says you're not under the law anymore. Okay? So since we're not under the law, does that mean we should just go out and do all kinds of bad things because we're not underneath all these commandments anymore? We're not underneath those things? That's where a big mix-up can happen. And this chapter addresses it, and many other chapters address it. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, because we're not under the law anymore, should we just go do all kinds of things? Because sin does not have power anymore to send us to hell. Does that mean it's okay to just go ahead and live in sin? It's the same question work salvation people ask us when you say you're saved without works. You're saved by grace. Well, what, are you just going to go kill a bunch of people? Listen, buddy, the Bible already addressed that. Okay, you don't have to do your good deeds to get to heaven. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He's the way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life, not us, okay? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. However, that does not mean you just go ahead and go out and sin a whole bunch. It just means sin does not affect you anymore in sending you to hell. It does not mean it won't affect your life. It does not mean you should continue in sin. If you're dead to sin, why would you want to continue in something you're dead to? Why keep making payments on something you do not owe anymore? Okay? You don't want to do that. No. We don't want to live that way. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. A second time it's addressed it. Because it talks about who you're a servant to in the next verse. Now, we are set free from sin. We are set free from the law. We are set free from the Old Testament and all the ceremony and all the restrictions. We have been set free. We are not under this law anymore, okay? And so the Bible teaches that in many places. Of course, here in Romans is just where we are, but there's other places. But should we sin because we're not under the law? No, we are God's servants now. We are not the law's servants. Okay, look at verse 15, what shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. I want to say this. Now, since we're under grace and we've been set free through Jesus Christ from the power of sin, from being under the law, and the law was just a tool to bring us to Christ, because the law reveals our sinfulness, and the sin makes us come to Christ because we're sinners. We need a Savior. And so the law is revealed that to us. Now that the law is revealed, it's all it does. It's a bunch of commandments, and it reveals you need a Savior. You're a sinner. You can't fulfill all these commandments. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You better get a Savior. You come to a Savior. Now for you, the use of the law is no longer there. It was a schoolmaster, Galatians tells us, to bring us to Christ. The strength of sin is the law, because the law reveals the sin, but we're not under the law anymore. And so sin is just this thing that is just a hindrance, but it's not a thing that that has dominion over us. It's not a thing that we have to serve. It's not a thing that's important. It's we are now set free from serving sin and serving the law, but we didn't get set free, so now we can go do whatever we want. We were set free to serve God. Okay? Now we are set free from sin. Now that we're set free, in other words, we had a master before who is sin. Now we've been set free from sin. Now we go to a different master, and that's Christ. That's the purpose of us being set free from sin. Let me read this again here and go a little farther in the passage. Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Remember, grace is God's favor toward us, what saves us. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Okay, now we are set free from sin. That was that scary thing, the law. And by the way, many Christians still go to church fearing God, thinking they need to do these things to go to heaven, and they're serving the law, and they're living in sin, and they're trying, and they're serving this master, this taskmaster that they live in fear of, and they're not quite doing enough. And then we get set free from that, okay? But then it says, now you've been set free. You're no longer a slave. God says, now, I set you free. I want you to come serve me. And I want you to serve me, not because you're afraid, not because you need a salvation, your salvation's settled. I want you to serve me, in verse 17, but you obeyed from the heart. From the heart. Let me take you to Exodus chapter 21 and show you maybe a picture of this in the Old Testament. Exodus 21. You could have a servant or a slave. In this case, in when it's talking about Exodus 21, but you had to set them free after 7 years. And if they got married and had kids while you had them serving you, you had to let them go with their spouse and their children. You couldn't keep any of them. Okay? Now let me read this to you. Exodus 21. Verse 2, if a man buy Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and the seventh he shall go free for nothing. If he came by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And the servant shall plainly say, now listen to this, verse 5 is the key. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. And his master shall bring him to the judges. He also shall bring him to the door or to the doorposts. And the master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. It's a hard way to mark you, by the way. But listen, he said, I love my master, love my family. I don't want to go free. I will not go free. I want to serve them. Then he gets marked and he becomes a bondservant. He becomes a free servant. He's a willing servant now. He wants to stay there. He wants to be with the situation. He wants to be with them. He wants to stay there because He loves them. Can you understand that there? In the same way, God sets you free. He says, but I want you to stay with me and serve me willingly from the heart. Okay? And so you're not under the law. You're not under this law where you have to keep these commandments to live, where you have to do all these certain things. And there's this thing we call, and here's the word I want to get to a little bit in the Bible. It's called liberty. Liberty. Okay? Liberty means this. Liberty means freedom from the ordinances of the law. Let me take you to Galatians 5. Very important chapter about this, and I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I don't think I can because of time. I'm going to tie this together and make you understand all that we're kind of getting to a little bit here. A lot of talk about liberty in Christ, and I think that liberty in Christ people misunderstand a little bit, and it's not all really clear. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye shall be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." What are you saying here? These believers were set free from the law, and they were saved, and they were not under the law. Now, they were Gentiles, and the Jews came, and these false teachers came in and said, listen, you need to go to the law and keep the law, or you're not saved. You got to be circumcised. You've got to go through these commandments. And Paul said, do not be entangled again with those laws. You don't have to be circumcised to go to heaven. That is Old Testament law. Christ has set us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage of the law. Okay? He says, do not be that. You are not underneath that. It's liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So you've been set free. Now, let me give you a few thoughts on liberty. Liberty is freedom from the ordinances of the law. That's what God gives us. So you're not supposed to be entangled again with the law. And that is what liberty is. A few thoughts here. Number one, we have been freed to have a willing, intimate relationship with the Lord. Okay, I want you to, you got to get that. You have been set free and been saved because God wants somebody to say, Lord, thank you so much. I love you. I want to serve you. That's what Christianity is all about right there. He saved you to become close to you and for somebody to say, I love God, I want to serve him willingly. That's what God wants. That's why I put a tree in the garden. The Lord just wanted somebody to choose him freely and love him and want to be with him and want to be friends with him. So he gives us liberty. But that liberty is so we can have a close, intimate relationship. Look in this chapter. Go forward to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Okay? I'm going to go back. That's fruit from the Spirit here. Now, let me take you back to a passage earlier in Romans 7 and read you a few verses there in Romans 7. The Lord wants you to be intimate with him and close to him and choose him. And then that brings forth fruit we talked about this morning. As a matter of fact, God's going to talk about it as in you and Christ are married. And that's very biblical. 2 Corinthians 11 says, I've espoused you to one, even Christ. Okay? We are the bride of Christ, the Bible says. Romans chapter 7, in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. What he's going to say here, this passage is a little heavy here. He's saying in the Old Testament, if you got married, you were married and there was nothing you could do about it until that person died you were married to. If that person died, you were free to get married again. But if they didn't die and you went to somebody else, you were an adulterer. And then he talks about the spiritual relationship in this. Verse 2, for a woman when she hath a husband is bound to the law, to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Spiritual application, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus make us dead to the law? Jesus took the entire law and crucified it. He took it with him to the cross, and he buried it. And so the law is now dead. You're free from the law. You no longer are married to the law. Your old spouse died, the law. Now I want you married to another one. That's the one who killed your old husband. And I want you to be married to Jesus Christ. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead of the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that who is raised from the dead. Why? That we should bring forth fruit unto God, just like spiritual children, to bring forth fruit. For when we're in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The law and you get together, and it brings forth sin, and what that produces is death. The wages of sin is death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. See, God wants you to serve in a new way, an excited way, a free way. You have liberty now. And use that liberty to be close to God and say, I want to be close to you, God. I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to. Amen. We've been set free to have a willing, intimate relationship with the Lord from the heart. Not, do I have to? I can't stand, do I have to, Christianity. Do I have to? No. I get to serve the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. I get to praise the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to bring souls to Him. I want to pray. I want to praise. I want to worship. I want to love the Lord. I want to get this out of my life. This doesn't please God. I am free from that stuff. Lord, I am serving you willingly. I have liberty, and I'm giving my liberty up to serve you. I am going to yield myself now unto you. And I'm giving myself to you. We have been freed. That's liberty. We're free from the power of sin. Free from the power of the law. Free from serving this bunch of rules and rigid regulations. And he says, stop. You're free. Okay. I want now to serve you with my heart in newness because I want to. It'd be like a man who has a lady who's a servant, and he's grinding her, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and she can never seem to please him, and he pushes her and pushes her and pushes her. And then one day, he says, you know what? I love you. You're set free. I would like you to be my wife. I still need your help, but I want you to do it because you're my wife. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. I still need you to help me. I still need you in my life. But you know what? You're set free. If you want to go, go. But I love you. I want you to be my wife. And I want everything you do in the future, I want you to do because you love me and want to. That's what pleases God. And that's a liberty you've been given. Now, what do you want to do with it? Number two, liberty is not a tool to do wrong. Boy, I've heard so many Christians say crazy things about this. You know, we're under liberty. Don't preach to me about that. That's not what it's saying. Okay, let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let me read some verses out of there. Verse 15, 16, 17. It says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And the context here is citizenship. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, and submit yourselves to them. You don't use your liberty to be a bad person, to do wrong. It's not the way we live. It's not the way we want to do that. It's not what's going to please God. And we see we've been set free for good things. Let me take it back to 1 Corinthians. So it's not to do wrong. It's not to be malicious. It's not to do what we want to do. For example, sometimes you have liberty, but you don't take advantage of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 8. I got a lot of the verses in Romans. I don't know if we'll get to them. First Corinthians chapter 8. Now, context of this, eating meat. You used to not be able to eat the certain kinds of meat, and the meat that was sacrificed to idols, and the pork, and all those other things. You didn't used to be able to eat those things. And Paul says, I'm at liberty to eat whatever I want. However, I have some brothers who want to eat with me. And you know what? They are offended by that. Now, I'm fine with it. However, I'm not going to use my liberty to destroy my brother. Just because I can does not mean I'm going to, or that I ought to do it, because it's going to hurt them. And they're offended by it, and they're sensitive to it. And so I don't want to use my liberty in order to do that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and boy, there's a lot of verses here on this. And let me just, we'll read a long, lengthy passage. You can kind of get the context here. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. And let me see what verses I want to read. Let's start at verse 4. As concerning thereof the eating of those things which are offered as sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but the Lord. He says, look, it's offered to an idol, but an idol is nothing. It's not real, okay? For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God and the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat, it is a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. It doesn't make you spiritual. For neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours, to eat whatever you want, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Okay, that last verse. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Don't use your liberty. Okay, you can. Doesn't mean, but don't use your liberty as a bad thing. It's liberty is only good. In other verses, use that liberty as occasion to flesh, but to love and serve one another. Okay, we had at our house on Thanksgiving, we had a group of Congolese, we had a group of Rwandans, and we have a group of Iraqis. Okay, they're practicing Muslims, the Iraqis were. I believe a couple of the, just a couple, not all of them, a couple of the Congolese were Muslim. We weren't sure. You know, with that meal, you know what I did? I said before we served, I said, I want you guys to know there's no pork in here. This is halal. This is acceptable, you guys. Now, can I eat pork? Hallelujah. I love pig meat. Amen. I love bacon. Ham's pretty good. We had pork ribs at camp, baptized in gravy, in barbecue sauce. Sorry. We love it. We love bacon. We had crispy sausage. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm trying to reach those folks. I'm not going to put pork in front of a Muslim. Okay? I want them to be saved. I want them to come to Christ. We're being kind to them. Okay? Okay, am I at liberty? Yes. Yeah. Should I use my liberty to shove it in their face? No. My liberty is to set me free to do good. Okay? It's to do good. And so you understand that it's to help people. Also underneath that, do not judge others in your liberty. Okay, this is where people get a little mixed up, but we're nearby. It's 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. So some Christian says to me, well, I don't think we should eat pig. I say, all right, no problem. You know what? We won't. Hey, look, Superman. And I'm not gonna offend them. I've been set free not to go do wrong, but to go do right. That's liberty. And there's many verses. What, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? God forbid. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Don't judge somebody else's liberty. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of another. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? He says, you know, if I eat it and you find out about it, don't judge me for my liberty. If I think it's okay or not okay. Now let me explain this to you, because this is very practical in life. You have a time where God starts speaking to you about something you're doing, okay? And you shouldn't do it because it's something, it's an idol to you, okay? It's a thing that God says you've got to give up. You shouldn't be doing this. You can't have this, and you can't have it because you can't handle it, or because it's wrong for you, it became too important to you, or it's something you've got to give up. No problem. I have people in this church all over who are way more strict on one thing than I am. I'm probably more conservative in general than everybody, but you have an issue where you're probably way more strict than me, okay? One person says, I cannot have a TV. It's wicked. I cannot do it. It's wrong. God told me to get rid of my TV. Awesome. I'd rather you not have a TV than have a TV. However, don't walk in my house and throw a TV on the ground. If you walk in somebody's house, they have a TV, don't say, you sinner, okay? Don't judge their liberty. There's not a Bible verse, thou shalt have no TV. Okay, it's not that. Now, you might be talking and fellowshipping, and they're talking about, I'm struggling with my mind or whatever, my eyes, and say, do you have a TV now? You might talk to them, that's fine. But don't judge someone else because they didn't give up everything you gave up. God spoke to you. Awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But if it's not a Bible issue, because here's what happened. Generally, those who God speaks to, it was something so important to them that it was a catastrophic part of their life, and they had to give it up, and it was do or die, and they gave it up, and it's so huge and gigantic to them. That's why they had to give it up. That's why I had to give it up, or you had to give it up. Therefore, it's such a big deal to you. Now it better be a big deal to everybody. Understand? Here's a person who doesn't eat real healthy, and God said, you know what, you're ruining your temple, and you're not eating right, and you should take better care of yourself. And God just said, you know what, food's controlling you, and you know what, you're sick and weak and unhealthy because you don't eat right, and food is a god and an idol to you. You know what, you need to start eating right, eating good, taking care of your health and doing that. And that person, God's really working on, they've got to change what they eat. But don't come give me a veggie burger, okay? Okay? God was working on you on that. Okay? But you give me a, you know, broccoli cookie, I'll say, that was delicious. And you know what? I don't want a broccoli cookie. I don't want a veggie burger. But God might work on you on that, and you have to eat that way. But don't judge somebody else's liberty. You don't have a Bible verse. Okay? And so you understand it's important to you, but do not, because you got a certain standard or conviction, you had to give this thing up. Do not think that is the most important, you know, here it is. You thou shalt not do this thing. Thou shalt not eat high cholesterol foods. Thou shalt not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt not change scripture. You know, thou shalt not murder. You know, it's not like that. It just is for you. Okay. But don't judge another person's liberty. God has given you something to do. Do not make that standard that God had for you front and center for everybody. You understand? You follow what I'm saying there? But for you, do it. And by the way, if you say, I have a conviction against TV, I cannot have a TV around me. We had a lady in our church who, she would not look at a screen. She was so under control of TV. And she was a good lady. She came to our church. And we had a video night, a video of Christian, like mission stuff. And she says, Pastor, I can't go to that tonight. What can I do? I don't want to skip church, but I can't watch that video. I said, it's mission stuff. Well, you know, God just convicted me. I cannot look at any videos. You know what a foolish person had done? Stupid. No. I said, you know what? We need a nursery worker that night. Go back in the nursery, and that's fine. Why? She was addicted to that stuff. And And so we all get our things and we think it's the only important thing and it's got to have it. One person is it's this, one person is this. But it's if it's, do not make, judge another person's liberty they have and do those things and do that. And you can give me veggie cookies. I'll find something to do with them. But it's to love and serve others. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. And look what the real purpose of it is. And verse 20, but I say unto you, that the things which a Gentile sacrifice, you sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the devil and the table of devils. Do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. What it's saying there? Do this is have liberty to serve, not to be a pain, not to hurt people, and use your willingness to serve God, not to hurt people. Next, it does not mean we do not have commandments. This is the mistake. You say to somebody, "You know what? You're a Christian. What are you doing that?" And they say, "Don't judge me. I'm under liberty." I want to say, because we're not under the law does not mean we're not under the commandments of the Bible. Okay? Somebody could go, "You know what? I'm going to kill this person, but I'm under liberty." No. We only wish we could do that occasionally. However, that's not biblical. There's commandments now. I thought, what in the world do I read? The whole New Testament's full of a bunch of commandments. And thou shalt and thou shalt not. As a matter of fact, many of the commandments got stricter in the New Testament. Okay, let me take it to Matthew 5. I just thought, what should I show? Where can I show in the Bible that we're still under commandments? And there's still thou shalls and thou shalt not. Number nine, we don't have to sacrifice lambs. We don't have to go and not eat certain kinds of meat and do eat certain kinds of things. But we are under commands. We're just not under the rituals and the system of the law. Matthew chapter 5. And just watch the law. And how he's kind of doing with it, but he's making it different. Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Okay, good. I'm not undoing that. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Is there still a command there? Is it still strict? Yeah. Okay, verse 27, you've heard it said unto them, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whew. If their right eye, if any, pluck it out. If you're looking at adultery, pluck your eyes out. That's strict. Okay. In other words, he is not taking away commandments and morality and everything else. He's just saying, it's not who you're not scared of this law anymore, not under all these rituals and holy days and sacrifices and lambs, but do not use that as an occasion for the flesh or maliciousness or to say, I can do this stuff now. It's to love and serve and do the right thing and do it because you want to, because now you have a spirit of things. Let's look at Ephesians 4. I'll cut out the other verses. I just wrote 1 Corinthians 6:18 to abstain from idols. And 10:14, 6:18, abstain from fornication. 10:14, abstain from idols. Just commandments all over the Bible, but Ephesians 4. I'm just showing you this commandments still all over the New Testament. They'll show you where they are all over the place. When you say liberty, it doesn't mean complete, do whatever you want, freedom. There is all kinds of commands of morality in the Bible. For example, Ephesians 4. Verse 24, did ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness? Wherefore, put away lying, okay? Can you lie under liberty? No. Right? You with me? Okay, very good. And it says, put away lying, okay? Speak every man the truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's a command. Need to give place to the devil. Let him steal no more. Can you steal now? No. Are we under liberty? Yes. But the morality of God has never changed. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Again, commandments, right and wrong. Don't do this. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. All over the Bible. all of the New Testament, we are still underneath these things. Now, all that to say this. Going back to Romans 7, God says you've been set free from the law, but it's not, you're not set free as an occasion to go do wrong. What should we say? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should, because we are not under the law, but under grace, should we go out and do more wrong? Should we continue in sin? No. To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, that's who your master is. You can still serve, though you've been set free. You're at liberty now. You can go back and serve sin, and you can go back and serve the law. But you know what? You've been set free to do right. Now yield yourselves unto God and obey from the heart because you want to. Now you have liberty. Use it to love and serve one another. Don't use liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but to love and serve one another. What are we saying? You've been set free and been saved to willingly go do what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I do not obey God today because I fear him. And I'm not against fearing God. I think it's biblical. I am serving God today because I appreciate and love him. I'm not worried about the government coming and killing me if I don't serve God. There's no law that says if you don't go to church on Sunday, you get your pinky cut off. We have a lot of pinkyless people. I'm not doing that because I say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to quite make it to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, I'm going to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's already done. He's able to save them to the uttermost. But I have this liberty now. Listen, it's like a governor coming in and saying, you know what, we're giving you clemency, you're set free, we're gonna get rid of forgive your crime, and you're set free, and the guy goes out and murders again. That's not why I set you free. I was giving you a chance to be productive to society. You ever seen the people who get set free so they can go out and tell young people, don't do what I did? Okay. Oh, what's this all about? Get rid of do I have to, and get I want to for you. Get rid of so many rules, and say, no. Lord, what can I do for you? You have liberty. Use your liberty to love and serve. Use your liberty to show God, Lord, I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do this because I love you. Lord, this displeases you. And I know I have free will, but Lord, I'm not going to do what displeases you. Lord, I guess I don't even have to pray. But Lord, I want to talk to you, and you deserve me to talk to you. I love you, God. And you young people, you grow up in a Christian home, and you grow up with all these rules. At some point when you get out of the home, you know what you're going to have to do? You get to fall in love with God and do it because you want to. Not because your parents won't always be there, and you will have to choose to serve God. Your parents won't be making you do right. You got to say, Lord, I want to. I don't have any problem with parents keeping kids on the right track. They get enough pulling them on the wrong track throughout their life. But I want to say, you better get to the point where you love God enough, because the devil's going to get you away from the people who are making you do right. You need to love God and want to serve him. Liberty to willingly serve. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray that we'd understand it's a privilege to serve you. I pray tonight if someone was kind of being grumpy about serving you, they would realize that you want someone who obeys from the heart that form of doctrine. Lord, you are a God who wants things from us. You have commands. Given the gospel to every creature is a command to go and preach the gospel to every creature. We're full of commands. But Lord, you want us from the heart with love, willing to serve you. As you said in Romans 12, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. Lord, we need to have a heart. Lord, thank you for setting us free from the power of sin. Thank you for setting us free from the law. Thank you for liberty. But Lord, help us to lovingly serve you and willingly give you our hearts and willingly say, I want to do this, Lord. You're worthy of that, Father. You're worthy of that. But we are kind of self-centered creatures, and somehow the devil always gets us to fear and be messed up and and think it's all about a bunch of commands and rules, not realize it's about a relationship. Father, help us not to make that error. Help us to willingly serve you and love you because you're so good, so kind, so merciful. You sent your son for us. Thank you for your word. Help us to love and serve one another. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.